along the trail, paths winding always upward. This troubled world is not my final home, but until
introduce our honored guest today. I would like to call in our children's ministry to present their singing.
Thank you. Everybody ought to know.
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 Who Jesus is. Everybody ought to know.
Everybody ought to know.
Everybody ought to know.
Everybody ought to know.
Who Jesus is. He's a lily of the valley. He's the brightest morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know.
Everybody ought to know.
Everybody ought to know.
Everybody ought to know.
Everybody ought to know. Who Jesus is.
Okay, before they all come down, I would like to recognize our honored guest today. If you are a policeman, a deputy sheriff, a firefighter, an emergency room nurse, or a first responder, would you please stand up so we can honor you today?
Amen.
Amen. Let's start with the officer. Sir, can you introduce yourself and what department you're from?
I'm Jeff Bates from the
Police
Department. The
and
ma'am? I'm a firefighter at Fire Station 9 down the road here.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. The children have something for you and everyone else. Did I miss anybody? Okay, any nurses here that... Any nurses? Any other firefighters that are off duty? No? EMTs? Paramedics? No? Nobody else? All right. Okay, the children, about family members of anyone that is a, about former, maybe there's a former policeman here. Former sheriff. Nobody? Family members, would you just please stand up? Okay, thank you. There you go. There you go. Thank you. Sister, your husband is a firefighter, correct? Yes. Sister Emily?
My brother is the chief of, yes.
Amen. Brother Raul?
My niece's husband is a firefighter, and she's a volunteer back in, what's the name of that town?
Oh, right.
By the way, they lost part of their home, but they were evacuated anyway, so they got everyone out there.
Hey.
They do serve,
yes. Okay, brother.
My son is a former sheriff, a former National City Policeman, and a former sky marshal.
Amen. Amen. Sister Mary, or Brother Pat?
Nephew.
Okay. Okay, see, he's in a happy place. That's good. Sister. Amen. And Mama? There's more. All right. Amen. Thank you for joining us today, officers. Can you please introduce yourself? We're at that point of our service. Can you please introduce yourself?
I'm Officer Flores Castro with the Police Department. Anything else?
Thank you for your service.
I mean, I can tell you my life story.
Thank you for your service. Ma'am?
Amen.
Well welcome and thank you for your service. At this point, where the children are going to, they have something for you to appreciate your service. And if you could stand up, and the family members also, those that stood up, who was a family member, who was a first responder. Thank you, kids. Okay, let me ask, if you don't mind, officers and ma'am, if you don't mind coming up here so we can take a group photo of you. It's up to you. You can. Yeah. Give him a round of applause. Thank you for your service.
And we have scripture reading. Who has scripture reading today?
Gary.
Let's all stand as Gary comes forward for the reading of God's Word.
Scripture reading this morning will be from Hebrews chapter 1. God, who is the sundry times and his divers manners, spake in times past unto the Father by the people. In these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who bringeth the brightness of his glory and the expression image of his person, and upholding all things that by the word of his power, when he hath by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which the angel saith, he hath at time, thou art my son, this day hath I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be unto me a son. God bless the reading of his word.
Okay, you may be seated. And we're going to have our offertory hymn number 111, How Great Thou Art.
When I in awesome wonder
and sings, my soul, my Savior God, to thee.
Thank you.
Brother Johnny, do you have a special for us?
Not
this morning. Okay. Pastor?
Yours.
Jude chapter 1. Look at one verse. And thinking about how I can teach our congregation to appreciate our first responders, not just those that are here in the building, but also the ones that are actually working right now outside. I found a verse in the scripture that pretty much sums up everything about the profession of a first responder. Jude chapter 1, verse 22. If you have a Bible with me to honor the Word of God, would you please stand up to honor the Word of God? If you don't have a Bible and you see someone without a Bible, please stand with them and share the Holy Scripture with that person. Jude chapter 1, there's only one chapter, and I will be only reading one verse. That will be in verse 22. Jude 1, 22. Once you're there, say amen.
Amen.
The Bible says in Jude 1, 22, "And of some have compassion," what does that say?
Making
a difference. "Of some have compassion, making a difference." Let's come to the Lord and pray. Father, I pray, Lord God, that you bless those that are here in this congregation today, especially our first responders, those that put their lives on the line, that sacrifice their time away from their family, away from their loved ones. Father, they face trials and tribulations and tumults in this earth. But I pray, Lord God, that you bless them today as this day is dedicated for them. But Father, if they are not saved today, I pray that they too will come to the saving knowledge of you. And if there's anyone else here in this congregation today that does not know you as their Lord and Savior, may you speak to that heart today. May you speak to that person today. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The letter of Jude, only one chapter, probably one of the shortest books in the Bible. Look at verse 1 with me. Verse 1 says, "Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." If there's one thing that is needed in our society today, are men and women that will earnestly contend for the faith. And he gives you the reason why there is a need for men and women that are earnestly contending for the faith. He says in verse 4, "For there are certain men that crept unawares." How many of you believe that in this earth and in our world, in our society, there are evil men? I will take the liberty to read. I don't usually do this in our services, but I would like to take the liberty to read an article of a retired lieutenant colonel from the U.S. Army by the name of Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman. And the reason why I've chosen to spend my message in this service reading this article is because in my attempt, in my effort to try to find the right words to say, to help the society understand and appreciate those that are in uniform and those that are serving our society day after day, I could not find any better words, better than what Lieutenant Colonel Grossman had already said. In his book entitled On Killing, he says, let me read this article for you. He says, "Honor never grows old. Honor rejoices the heart of age. It does so because honor is finally about defending those noble and worthy things that deserve defending. even if it comes at a high cost. In our time, that may mean social disapproval, public scorn, hardship, persecution, as always, even death itself. The question remains, what is worth defending? What is worth dying for? What is worth living for? Most of the people in our society are sheep. They are kind, gentle, productive creatures who can only hurt one another by accident. This is true. The murder rate is 6 per 100,000 per year, and the aggravated assault is 4 per 1,000 per year. What this means then is that the vast majority of Americans are not inclined to hurt one another. Some estimates that 2 million Americans are victims of violent crimes every year. It is a tragic and staggering number, perhaps an all-time record rate of violent crime. But there are almost 300 million Americans, which means that the odds of being a victim of a violent crime is considerably less than 1 in 100 in any given year. Furthermore, he says, since many violent crimes are committed by repeat offenders, the actual number of violent citizens is considerably less than 2 million. Thus, there is a paradox, and we must grasp both ends of the situation. Listen to this. We may well be in the most violent times in history, but violence is still remarkably rare. This is because most citizens are kind. When you look at our congregation today, decent people who are not capable of hurting each other except by accident or under extreme provocation, they are sheep. And it's not a negative thing. It is like a blue robin's egg, he said. Inside it is soft and gooey, but someday it will grow into something that is wonderful. But the egg cannot survive without its hard blue shell. Police officers, soldiers, and other warriors, and if I may add, every first responder, are like that shell. And someday the civilization they protect will grow into something wonderful. For now, they need warriors to protect them from the predators. Most of the people in our society are sheep. Then the colonel continues, he says, then there are the wolves. The wolves feed on the sheep without mercy. Do you believe that there are wolves in the society today? You better believe it. There are evil men in this world that are capable of evil deeds. And the moment you forget that, or pretend it is not so, you become a sheep. And there's no safety in denial, he continues. So there's the sheep, then there are the wolves. And then the good colonel said, then there are the sheepdogs. He went on saying, I am a sheepdog. I live to protect the flock and confront the wolf. If you have no capacity for violence, then you are a healthy, productive citizen. You are a sheep. If you have a capacity for violence and you have no empathy for your fellow citizens, then you have defined an aggressive sociopath. You are a wolf. But what if you have a capacity for violence and yet you have a deep love for your fellow citizens? What do you have then? You are a sheepdog, a warrior, someone who is walking the hero's path, someone who can walk into the heart of darkness, into the universal human phobia, and walk out unscathed. Many people do not believe that there is evil in this world. Many of them are outraged in the idea of putting an armed police officer in their kid's school. They are the sheep. The sheep's only response to the possibility of violence is denial. The idea of someone coming to kill or harm their child is just too hard. So they choose the path of denial. Here's one thing that the lieutenant says about the nature of this relationship between the sheepdog, and the wolves. Listen to this. The sheep generally do not like the sheepdog because he looks a lot like the wolf. He has fangs and the capacity for violence. The difference is that the sheepdog must not, cannot, and will not harm the sheep. Any sheepdog who intentionally harms the lowliest little lamb will be punished and removed. And the world cannot work any other way, at least not in a representative democracy or republic such as ours. But the sheepdogs disturb the sheep. You know why? He's a constant reminder that there are wolves in the land. They would prefer the sheep. They would prefer that he did not tell them where to go or give them traffic tickets or stand at the ready in our airports in camouflage fatigues holding an M16. The sheep would rather have the sheepdog cash in his fangs, spray paint himself with white, and go, bah. Until the wolf shows up. When the wolf shows up, then the entire flock tries to desperately hide behind one lowly sheepdog. How many of you remember the incident at Columbine High School? In that Columbine High School, they said there were some tough high school football students that were extraordinary. That they would not have time of a day to spend with a police officer. They were not bad kids. They just had nothing to say to a cop. Just like our society today have no respect for those that are in uniform. But do you remember when that school was under attack? And the SWAT team were clearing the rooms and hallways. The officers had to physically peel those clinging, sobbing kids off of them. And that is how the little lambs feel about their sheepdog when the wolf is at the door. You remember, not too long ago, about 3 weeks now, we celebrate September 11. How many of you had already forgotten what happened in September 11 of 2001? When the wolf pounded hard on the door of this country. Remember how America, more than ever before, felt differently about their law enforcement officers and military personnel and every first responder? Remember how many times you heard the word hero? Now, here's one thing. There's nothing morally superior about being a sheepdog. But it is what you choose to be. Now, a sheepdog is a funny critter. He's always sniffing around out on the perimeter, checking the breeze, barking at things that go bump in the night, and yearning for a righteous battle. That is, the young sheepdogs, they yearn for a righteous battle. The old sheepdogs are a little older. Sir, I see you have at least 30 years on in your service. You are a wiser and more mature sheepdog. But there are those of us, the younger sheepdogs, and ladies, you correct me if I'm wrong, but do you not yearn for a righteous battle? You move to the sound of the guns when needed, right along with the young ones, while the entire society runs away. Where do we go? Where do you go? You go towards the trouble, do you not? But here's how the sheep and the sheepdog think differently. Bear with me. The sheep will pretend that the wolf will never come. But the sheepdogs live for that day. Now, there's nothing more morally superior about the sheepdog, the warrior, But he does have one real advantage, only one. And that is he is able to survive and thrive in an environment that destroys 98% of the population. You say, Pastor, why are you spending time reading this? Because I cannot say it any better than Lieutenant Colonel Roseman said it. There's a radio commentator by the name of Paul Harvey. Let me read this next article. A radio commentator by the name of Paul Harvey said these words pertaining to policemen. And I will argue today, not just to policemen, but to every first responder in this place. Listen to what Paul Harvey said. He said, a policeman is a composite of what all men are, a mingling of a saint and a sinner, dust and deity. He's being funny. Gold statistics wave the fan over the stinkers, underscore instances of dishonesty and brutality because they are new. But what they really mean is that they are exceptional, unusual, not commonplace. Buried under the frost is the fact that less than one half of 1% of policemen misfit the uniform. And then he says, that's a better average than you would find among the clergy. What is a policeman made of? And I will argue today, what is a first responder made of? He or she of all men is once the most needed and the most unwanted. He's that strangely nameless creature who is sir to his face and a fuzz to his back. He must be such a diplomat that he can settle differences between individuals so that each will think he won. If the policeman is neat, he's conceited. If he's careless, he's a bum. If he's pleasant, he's flirting. If it's not, he's a grouch. He must make an instant decision which would require months for a lawyer to make. If he hurries, he's careless. If he's deliberate, he's lazy. He must be first on accident and infallible with his diagnosis. He must be able to start breathing, stop bleeding, tie splints, and above all, be sure the victim goes home without a limp or expect to be sued. The police officer must know every gun, draw on the run, and hit where it doesn't hurt. He must be able to whip two men twice his size and half his age without damaging his uniform and without being brutal. If you hit him, he's a coward. If he hits you, he's a bully. A policeman must know everything and not tell. He must know where all the sin is and not partake. A policeman must, from a single strand of hair, be able to describe the crime, the weapon, and the criminal, and tell you where the criminal is hiding. But if he catches the criminal, he's lucky. If he doesn't, he's a dunce. If he gets promoted, he has political pull. If he doesn't, he's a dullard. The policeman must chase a bum, lead to a dead end, stake out 10 nights to tag one witness who saw it happen, but refused to remember. The policeman must be a minister, and every first responder, this is applicable too. The policeman must be a minister, a social worker, a diplomat, a tough guy, and a gentleman. And of course, he would have to be a genius, for he or she will have to feed a family on a policeman's salary. In our text, look at verse 16 of Jude. Verse 16, the Bible says, about the world that we live in, that there are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Verse 18 says, how did they told you there shall be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust? These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. You know, you look at the society today, I tell you, I commend you, first responders today. And I thank you for your service in behalf of Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church and every family that's here today. We want to thank you for your service. In the Bible, in our verse, it says that in the midst of complainers and murmurers in the society, in the midst of all this wickedness, in the midst of all these filthy dreamers, Jude says in verse 22, there are some that have compassion and that are making a difference. There are some that have compassion and making a difference. And I want to encourage you today, first responders, do not forget the most important character that is needed of every first responder. Whether you be a policeman, a firefighter, a nurse, a paramedic, or an emergency medical technician, or some kind of rescuer. And that characteristic, the Bible says, is to have compassion. And of some have compassion. And then secondly, Jude says, making a difference. I want to encourage you today. I've been in the service for almost 12 years now. But today I want to dedicate this day to each and every one of you that are here today. We thank you for being here. But I want to encourage you not to give up. Not to give up the fight. Not to give up your life. Not to give up your career. Forget everything and everything else that people say about you. Because you are making a difference. You are making a difference. In essence, you are an example of a man who lived 2,000 years ago. This man who lived 2,000 years ago, the number one characteristic that is found in him is the same characteristic that you should have and that I know you have today. And that is, he had compassion. His name is Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him will not perish but will have everlasting life. He had compassion on mankind. And I know you will agree that in this world, the cross, the gospel, Christianity, on that God-forsaken day, he made a difference. He made a difference. And in reality, if you are a first responder today, those that are here today, I want to remind you, in essence, you may have never thought about it. You may have never thought about it. But in a way, you are a little Christ. But if you do not know him as your Lord and Savior, you know, we go to work every day. You know, every day I put on a uniform. You know what I tell myself? Every time I put on a uniform, there is a chance. When I kiss my three kids goodbye to go to work, and I strap on that vest, and I put on that badge after I've shined it, and I put on that gun belt, and I make sure that weapon is properly oiled, and my boots are shined every time I put on that uniform, there's always a chance that I may never see my family again. And the truth of the matter is, the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. And the truth of the matter is, you do not know when that day comes for you. How many firefighters have died in the service? Every firefighter that has given his or her life for the service did not know that that time was going to come. Every policeman that had died when we lost an officer in Whittier. When we lost every deputy that we have lost. When we lost a San Diego PD officer. You remember? Every time we put on that uniform, there's a good chance. And we come to face with reality. And the reality is, there is death. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. But the question is, when that time comes, will you be ready? Will you be ready? And that same question goes not just for our first responders in the room, but for everyone that is in this building today. There is an appointed time for you. Are you ready for that time to come? Every head bowed, every eye closed. To our feet and close our eyes. After we pray, I would like for our church to personally thank our first responders today. But let me give you a chance to make a decision for Christ first. If you are not saved today and you do not know for sure that heaven will be your home, would you meet Him today? Would you trust Him today? Will you call upon His name and ask Him to save you? The altar is open. As the piano plays, the altar is open. And members of Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church, maybe there was a time when you called 911 and that first responder showed up, that paramedic, that fireman, that policeman, that sheriff's deputy showed up in your house and saved you. How about you thank God for them today? Would you thank God for them today? In a moment, I will give you a chance to shake their hands and appreciate them and thank them. In a moment. But would you first thank God that there are men who have chosen to have compassion. There are women who have chosen to make a difference. Would you thank God for them today? The altar is open. Keep playing. Church, why don't we line up, come around this way, and shake their hands and thank them for their service as you exit the building. We have lunch prepared for everybody. Church, would you go ahead and line up this way and shake their hands and thank them for their service.